Ruth 4, verses 1 through 6. Here again, God's Word. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend. Sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." May God be pleased to bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. Amen. The book of Ruth is a great story, isn't it? It's a great story about people in need and how they struggled in this life, how Elimelech and his family went to Moab and tried to eke out a living. It's a story about how Ruth, in God's providence, was dedicated to Naomi and was a dear friend and wanted to stay close to Naomi. And so it's a story of not only the deprivation that had taken place in the family, but the dedication that can transpire within a family. It's also a story about how Boaz comes to take care of both Naomi and Ruth, and in accordance with the Old Testament law, redeem these people. Give them back a life in this world. And in this story, as we have been looking into it, we have realized that Boaz is a type of Christ. He's a picture of Christ. And in his work as a redeemer, he is particularly a picture of Christ. And so we continue that theme in the book of Ruth this morning, as we look at chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. And as we do so, I'm laying before you this statement at the head of our outline. Jesus Christ becomes the perfect Redeemer by becoming our kinsman and fulfilling all the legal requirements for our salvation. We must wait upon Him and trust His work alone. I think that's the picture that is presented to us in this piece of the book of Ruth. There are many pictures of Christ that are given to us in the Old Testament scriptures. We can start with Adam, can't we? Adam, who was the head of the race, and Jesus Christ became the head of a new humanity. We can look at Moses, who said that there would be a prophet like him who would be raised up by God, and to whom the people must look. And that prophet was Jesus Christ. We think about Joshua. Joshua, who was a great warrior, and the name Joshua is brought into the New Testament as the name Jesus. And there is David himself, King David, his greater son, is Jesus Christ. And as the head of the kingdom, And the Prince of the people of God, he is a picture of Jesus Christ who sits on the throne of the majesty on high and is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, another picture of Jesus Christ is this picture that is given to us in Ruth of the kinsman redeemer. Again, Ruth chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative, or the redeemer, of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. We'll go on to verse 2 in a moment. The redeemer, that's the literal term which is used in Ruth chapter 4 and in verse 1. And part of the background is given to us in Leviticus. So if you keep your finger there in Ruth and turn back to Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 25, we see part of the background for our text. Next week, we're going to, hopefully in God's providence, look at Deuteronomy 25, which is another important part of the background. Now, in Leviticus 25 and verse 25, if a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor, he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his brother has sold. Here's the kinsman. The kinsman who is a brother who is required under the law of God, if a near relative becomes so poor that that relative has to sell his land, this brother must buy it back for his relative. And that's the background. That's what's happening in Ruth chapter 4 and in verse 1. Boaz is a near relative. And he could act as the one who buys back the land. But there is a closer relative. Now the question's been asked already, how come we have two redeemers here? Well, I've already said that in the Old Testament there are many different pictures of the great Redeemer. And so it's not of great consequence that we have two individuals who could act as the Redeemer here. And some of the story as it unfolds gives us an idea of why there are these two and the interplay between them. So just hang on for a minute. But at any rate, here's the background. And Boaz is now asking this closer relative. There is a vital connection to Christ. I asked you to keep your finger in Ruth, and we are going to go back to Ruth. But now, look at Hebrews again. And chapter 2, and these verses that we just read. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice what the writer to the Hebrews says about our Lord. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary, to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a faithful and merciful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It was necessary that our Lord Jesus become like us in every respect, that he take on a human body and become a human person in every respect. The scriptures here say it was necessary And further, the scriptures say it was necessary that he be made like his brethren, the New American Standard Version says, that he would be a brother to us in the flesh. He is our closest brother, in other words. He is our kinsman and our redeemer, in accordance with Leviticus 25 and verse 25. That's part of the connection. And that's why when we look at Ruth and we talk about the kinsman redeemer, we also talk about Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus is our brother. And we talk about him in Christian circles very often as being our elder brother, do we not? And it's a good thing to be able to do that. And it's a good thing to be able to talk about being in God's family through Jesus Christ. And our being brothers and sisters in Christ. And our elder brother is Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, once again. Verses 1 and 2. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And so they sat down. I'm saying in the second point in the outline, Boaz goes to the gate of the city to initiate the process of redemption. It is a legal process. Here's the picture of the Redeemer. And now Boaz goes to the gate of the city. Bethlehem wasn't a great city. It was a small town, a little burg. It wasn't a city that had walls around it for defense, nor did it have a great formal gate, but it did have an entrance, which was called the gate of the city. And in cities in those times, there were not big auditoriums where people would gather. There weren't courthouses in the middle of the city. And there weren't amphitheaters. The city gate was the place where people gathered. The city gate was the place where travelers would be coming and going, so it was a good place for commerce to take place. And so it was in Bethlehem. And also the gate of the city was the place where the elders would sit. The elders of the city would sit. And if questions would arise, moral questions, legal questions, the elders of the city would hear particular cases and render their judgments and their opinions. And so what does Boaz do? Goes up to the gate of the city. Lo and behold, in God's providence, this closer relative to Naomi comes by. And so he says, "Hey, guy, come on and sit down here, would you?" And so the other man sits down. And Boaz gathers 10 of the elders of the city and asks them to sit down. A legal proceeding is about to take place. I don't know as we catch the full ramifications here. Boaz is ready to go to court in the good sense. And as he pictures our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ was under legal obligations to perform redemption for his people. Again, if you would please, keeping your finger in Ruth chapter 4, turn to Psalm 40. A lot of these things we don't grasp readily today because We don't understand the full significance of law as we should. Psalm 40 in verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. If you go to the book of Hebrews, you'll discover that this particular text is related specifically to Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father, and he is saying to his Father that he enters the world for the purpose of accomplishing the will of the Father, as it is written. And where is it written? It is written in the plans and purposes of God. This is a covenant. Jesus Christ the Son is in covenant with God the Father to accomplish the redemption of his people. And dear friends in Christ, Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the perfect Redeemer, does not lack in any way to accomplish the purposes of the Father. He does redeem his people. Praise be unto God. And there are legal obligations, therefore, under which Jesus Christ operates in this covenantal framework as he enters the world. And hence, the picture in Ruth chapter 4, if you go back there now, hence the picture in Ruth chapter 4 of this legal proceeding. It's the picture of being at the gate of the city, sitting in the court with the tribunal, if you want to put it that way, with the elders present as witnesses and as that board which ratifies the transactions which are to take place. Now let's go on here. Ruth chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Then he said to the closest relative, this is Boaz now, says to the other close relative, the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it, and if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Boaz says, here's the situation. Naomi came back, well known in our town. She has to sell the land that belongs to our brother Elimelech because of her poverty. You are next in line to buy the land, brother. And the interesting thing here is that it was incumbent upon this man to buy the land. It's also quite interesting, it seems to me, that Boaz wants to follow in a very strict fashion the law of God. Boaz could have said, well, I know this other fella. He doesn't have the wherewithal that I do. And Boaz apparently was one of the wealthy individuals in Bethlehem. This other fella doesn't have the wherewithal that I do. And it'll really be a hardship on him economically to buy back this land for Naomi. So, I'll just buy it myself. Boaz didn't do that. Boaz was very scrupulous as far as his own observance of the law of God. And this is why he brings the other man into the picture immediately. And so part of the reason for the appearance of this other man is to show the righteousness and the justice of Boaz, the picture of the Redeemer. Now, isn't this how Jesus Christ actually is? Very scrupulous with regard to his keeping of the precepts of God. Absolutely. Again, let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews, this time in chapter 4, we'll go back to Ruth. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 15, the writer to the Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Jesus Christ, taking to himself humanity and all the weaknesses of humanity, was tempted as we are, as human beings, and he never sinned. I don't know about you, I have a little bit of a difficulty identifying with that. I better revise my statement. I've got a big difficulty identifying with that, except that it's written. What is sin? Sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Did Jesus Christ transgress in any way the precepts of the Father? No. Did Jesus Christ fail to keep any of the precepts of the Father? No. He did it all perfectly. He did what you cannot do and what I cannot do. And this is the picture that is being presented to us in Ruth. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." Holy, innocent, undefiled. Innocent of any transgression, wholly set aside to the purposes of God, separated from sinners, not separated from sinners in the sense that he was totally different than sinners because he took on human form. He became like us, except without sin. He was separated from us in that his thoughts were not our thoughts, that is, sinful thoughts. His ways were not our ways, that is, sinful ways. That's how he was separated from sinners. In his demeanor and thought, his conduct, in everything that he did. Let's go back again to Ruth. So I say in the third point in the outline, Boaz earnestly seeks to fulfill all the requirements of the law in effecting the redemption of Ruth. So also Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord fulfills all the requirements of the law for people like us. That's how He gets us to heaven. That's our redemption. Of course, He does die on the cross to pay the penalty due to us for our transgressions. But that's only half of the picture. He must live a perfectly righteous life. Back to Ruth chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." The picture seems to be this, that the closest relative, as I mentioned earlier, does not have the wherewithal of Boaz. He might have been able to buy back the piece of property for Naomi, and that would have put a dent in his own financial statement. But when added to that, the further encumbrance of a wife and family to take care of, this man said, "Hands up." Financially, I don't think I can handle that. Boaz, you're better off than I am. You can have my right of redemption. I yield to you. This appears to be what takes place. And I'm saying then in the fourth point in the outline, the closest kinsman falters. His earthly estate takes precedence over redemption. Not so for Boaz. There are lessons here. Point five, do earthly affections take precedence over salvation for Jesus Christ, the perfect Redeemer? That would never be the case. So it is, you see, in the picture with Boaz. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 23. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." Think about this. Under the pressure, that Jesus Christ sustained, he uttered no threats. That's amazing to me. It really is. Because usually, when people like us are under pressure and we are threatened, our response is, "I'll get you for that." Isn't that how we would normally react? Not so, our Lord Jesus. not concerned with worldly things, his affections not on the world. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said, that the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Not a bed to go home to, but not concerned about those worldly things, because his heart was set on the salvation of his people, and he desired to do with all of his heart all that God required of him. And he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our Lord Jesus. So I think that's one of the lessons that comes to us from Ruth and the interchange between the one kinsman and the other, Boaz, that the one falters because of house and home. Not the true Redeemer. The priority is on salvation, redemption, spiritual things. And the other application, it seems to me, is also pertinent and applies to us more directly. Do earthly affections take precedence over salvation and the things of God in your life and in my life? You see, the one kinsman had before him the Word of God. Stepped back, not Boaz. But he followed strictly the requirements given to him. What about us? What about you and me? Jesus Christ, our forerunner and example, we are to follow. What about our connection with our earthly possessions? Matthew 19. Let's just look at it briefly. Time permits only a brief look at what Jesus says. Matthew 19:16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete or perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. There's the issue. In the one case, the kinsman faltered because of his own financial ability and spirituality, I would add. And where do we stand with reference to our desire to follow the Word of God and to follow Jesus Christ? Would we sell all that we have and follow Him? Good question, isn't it? Good question. Thank God that Jesus Christ covered all of our sins in His death on the cross. And not only so, He lived a perfect life for us. And so I'm back to what I said right at the beginning. Jesus Christ becomes the perfect Redeemer by becoming our kinsman and fulfilling all the legal requirements for our salvation. Dear friends, we must wait upon Him and trust His work alone, and we must follow Him. Jesus said, "Follow me, follow me." Do you hear His word? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Redeemer. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, we pray. Give us faith to embrace Jesus and to follow Him. He's the Redeemer, beyond doubt. Thank You for Him. And thank You for the pictures that are given in this great book of Ruth. As we continue to look at these pictures, may we understand our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, better, we pray. In His name.